ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमा ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। See, today is a day in India, we worship the rivers and the current, the flow of the rivers. We go to the river banks and offer flowers and dhup, deep, raivedya, everything. We bow to the rivers today because they had to flow abundantly with the current, so that all the lands around the rivers will be fertile and a lot of crops. And we'll start sowing this month, and we can harvest in later on after a few months. It's a very auspicious day for us. So there's a beginning of agricultural work. It's just to begin from today. So it's auspicious day for us. So we are seeing now this Dvaita Prakaranam of Panchadashi. And now, Vidyaranya Swami, in order to help us understand Ishvara Srishtihi. Srishtihi means creation which involves a duality. Creation involves duality. The experiencer of the world and the experienced world. The knower and the enjoyer of the world and the known and the enjoyed world of objects. The duality is involved. There is Rishra Srishti Dvaita, Srishti Dvaitam, the world of duality created by the Lord. In the sense, there's a world of duality which is looked upon as the creation of Ishvara. And there's also another world of duality which is projection of a Jiva. So we are going to understand the difference and how to see, how to resolve one's own, the Jiva's projection of duality, which has been resolved in the Ishvara's creation of duality, which later on would make us understand there's no duality at all. And so Vidyaranya Swami, as part of his teaching, he is now introducing how Ishvara Srishti is. So he is quoting the mantras from different Upanishads to help us understand Ishvara Srishti. Of course, we have to remember the fact creation is only a name given to the manifestation of the power of reality obtaining in the form of world. There's no real creation. Creation does not mean creation of something which is newly created. So manifestation of the power of reality, which is already existent, becoming the unmanifest power of reality, becoming manifest name of universe is creation. And so here there's duality is involved. Experience of the universe and experienced universe. Now, Vidyaranya Swami is actually, in many mantras, he has been quoting from different Upanishads and talking about Ishvara Srishti. Let us understand, let us go along with his thinking, so we will also have the same clarity, what he expects us to get from this teaching. So, we saw in the previous verse, 9th verse, how the Srishti is discussed in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is otherwise called Vajasaneyi Samhita. Right from Virat, the total manifestation of gross universe, and every small and minute being of the world, everything involved here, he says, Pipilikavadhi, even the ant, all of them are born in pairs. And they are born out of Ishvara. Have you understood here? Let me read the verse. Viranmanurnarogavaha karaschajavayavas karashva karashvajavayastatha. The print mistakes are last class. I did not read correctly. Please note it again. Viranmanurnarogavaha karashvajavayastatha. Pipilikavadhi dvandvam dvandvamiti vajasaneinaha. So Virat Manuhu Naraha Karaha Cha Ajaha Ajaha Avayaha Tatha Pipilikavadhi dvandvam iti vajasneinaha ahuhu. We have to say. I already said vajasanei is another expression for Brihadaranyaka Upanishad belonging to Shukla Yajurvedaha. So in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in the first chapter, the first part, the fourth Brahmanam, the fourth mantra, mentions this, that he mentions a list of beings created. So it is said there, first Virat originated, then from Virat means the total gross universe. The entire gross manifest and looked upon as Ishvara is given the name Virat. First Virat originated. Then from the Virat came the Manuhu. And Manu, as I said, is the first of the human race. That is why the entire humanity is known by the word Manavaha. Manavaha means human beings. There again, actually, we can say there are 14 Manus. The 14 Manus are actually always mentioned in the Puranas. Then, the Manuhu, not the Purana, even the Upanishad talks about the Manu. Then Naraha, human beings. Human beings mean what? Both. So, Manavaha. Then from after 14, again, other rest of the human beings. Male members and female members. Then Gavaha, cows. Karaha. So, Gavaha stand for both cows and bulls. Karaha means the donkeys. It's a karaha, which is a male and female donkeys. Ashwaha actually stands for both horse and mare. Then ajaha and avihi. So ajaha, goats, avayaha, sheep. Ajaha, singular, avihi. Ajaha, avihi. Avihi means singular sheep. Avihi, ikaranta pullinga shabda, which means sheep. So ajaha, goat, avihi, sheep. And ajavayaha means ajaha, avayaha. Together ajavayaha, goats and sheep. We can say plural form of it. Horses and mare, male and female donkeys. So male and female cows and bulls, even human beings, male and female beings. So, and also what? Even the, up to the tiniest being called Pipilika, the ant, all these beings, just it means the entire living, the world of living beings, all of them originated from the Lord. Who is this Lord? Lord is the truth, who is of twofold orders of reality. That is why Ishvara Bhagavan is Bhagavan is a very different parent of this whole cosmos. Mother and father of the entire universe. Lord is like both mother and father of the universe. Therefore, very different parent. All of them originated from Ishvara in pairs, dvandvam. Dvandvam means what? Dvandvam means in pairs, all these beings originated from Lord. This is what we saw in the last class. Now let us read the 10th verse. Kritva rupantaram jaivam. If you attend this class, next class you happen to miss, and don't go and tell people, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad talks about creation. All these things came into existence from Bhagavan. Okay? Please remember, whenever creation is discussed, not to establish creation, you only to establish the fact that there is no creation. What is only manifestation. But now our purpose is to understand Ishvara Srishti. How to appreciate, if you look at everything as it is, without adding any value to it, without reducing any value from it, then you are seeing it as Ishvara Srishti. So we have to understand that. How to understand Bhagavan's creation, for which he is giving all these things. Finally, I'm going to give you the teaching. We're going to understand the lesson. Okay. Kritva rupantaram jaivam dehe pravishadishwaraha itita shrutaya prahuhu jivitvam pranadharanat. I'm repeating it. Kritvarupantaram jaivam dehe pravishadishwaraha itita shrutaya prahuhu jivitvam pranadharanat. So here, let us see the understand here. Pravishat means entered. Who entered here? Ishvaraha Pravishat. Pravishat Ishvaraha. Ishvaraha Pravishat. Lord entered into what? Dehe. Lord entered into the physical form, physical body. Lord entered the physical body. Lord entered into every individual being, every individual body, mind, sense complex. Ishvaraha dehe pravishat. Pravishat is lung, past tense verb. How did Ishvara enter into the body, mind, sense complex here? Dehe. Rupantaram kritva. In other form. Rupantaram in another form. Lord entered into the individual body mansions complex. Rupantaram means what? As jiva. Jaivam rupantaram kritva. Jaiva means anything pertaining to jiva is called jaivam. Jaivam means assuming the form of a jiva or in the form of a jiva. As jiva, Ishvara entered into the body. Iti taha shrutayaha prahuhu. Thus say all the shrutis, all the Upanishadic mantras. Shrutayaha means Upanishad mantras or Upanishads. Prahuhu, Upanishads say that Ishvara alone entered into the body as jiva. Jaivam rupantaram kritva Ishvaraha dehe pravishati iti. Tat Taha Shrutayah Prahuhu Vadanti. Prahu means Vadanti. All the Upanishads say that Jiva alone entered into the body as Ishvara alone entered into the body as Jiva. And next word is Jivitvam Pranadharanat Bhavati. We have to add the supply the word Bhavati or Asti. Jivitvam, that is Jivatvam, not Jivitvam, Jivatvam. Jivatvam. Jivatvam means the body, mind, sense complex, having the status of being alive is because of the pranadharanat. What does it mean here? Why do we say, why do Ishvara enjoys or has, Ishvara alone have, Ishvara has the status of being the Jiva. Why is Ishvara, why is Paramatma known as Jiva? That is said here in this word, Jivatvam. Very interesting. Huh? Why is Ishvara, who entered into the body, gets the name of the Jiva? The beautiful meaning is that because pranam dharayati iti jivaha. You are going to see later on. Pranadharanat. Pranam dharayati iti pranadharanam. Pranadharanat jivatvam bhavati. Ishvara has the status of being the Jiva. Or Ishvara gets the title called Jiva because Ishvara alone holds the prana in the body. Ishvara alone holds the prana in the body. Ishvara alone sustains the prana in the body. Without Ishvara in the form of truth, prana cannot survive in the body. And without the prana, body, mind, and complex cannot survive. They cannot be energized. They cannot live. And here, therefore, the entire body, mind, and complex becomes sentient, becomes conscious, and is alive because prana constantly is there and lending the energy. And that prana, it is Ishvara alone remaining as essential nature of every individual, lends consciousness, sentiency, life to every jiva, every individual body, mind, and complex. Therefore, it holds the prana by lending sentiency and consciousness to the inert material body, mind, and complex. These Ishvara upholds the prana in the body. Therefore, Ishvara is known as Jivaha. So, Jivatvam Pranadharanat means the Jiva status is attributed to Ishvara because Ishvara alone holds the prana in the body. It's the literal meaning. Pranam Dharayati, Dharati iti Pranadharanam, Pranadharanaha. And Pranadharanam means holding the prana. And Pranadharanat, because of that reason, Ishvara has the name Jiva. Ishvara has Jivatvam, Jiva status, Jiva qualification. Okay? Let us understand here. I might have explained to you already, but let me tell you again. Maya, the unmanifest power of reality, which is looked upon as Ishvara Shaktihi. So the power of consciousness, power of reality is also looked upon as power of Ishvara. Because reality is given Ishvara's status and the real power is looked upon as Ishvara's power. So power of Ishvara, unmanifest power of Ishvara, the reality, is Maya, and which is in the form of Karana Shariram. There is no causal body, Karana Shariram, other than Maya. And it is this Karana Shariram, the Maya, is the cause. Cause means what? Karana Shariram tells you. It is the basis for the any subtle or gross bodies. And we have to remember, all our sanchita karmas, sanchita karmani, sanchita karma phalani, all our previously accumulated from time immemorial, previously accumulated unexhausted results of actions, known as sanchitam karma, known by the term sanchitam karma, always remains stored in karana shariram. And we should remember, karana maya is inert by itself. Therefore, maya karyam, the effects of maya, gross body and subtle body are also of the nature of inertness. Therefore, the inert gross body, inert subtle body, which is nothing but products of maya, cannot be conscious and sentient by themselves. Because they are of the nature of inertness. Therefore, they had to become conscious and sentient, for which Ishvara, whose nature is essential, it is pure consciousness, entered into the body as jiva. That's what is said here. And like what? Just as when the total space enters into the pot and gets the name pot space. Now you can understand, there's no real entry, as though entered. When a pot comes into existence in space, the very pot itself is what? An enclosure. The pot is enclosure of space which is already there. The indivisible, undivided whole space seems to be divided as though when the pot originates in space. And then we say, not only the pot originates in space, and the pot form is an enclosure for the space. And then it's said, but it also seems it is divided the space, and it also gets the name pot space. Similarly, here, all pervasive consciousness, Atma, which is looked upon as Ishvara, here the bodies originate, and there the consciousness is enclosed, the enclosed consciousness obtaining with the body, and hence complex alone is what? Is jiva. Okay, let us understand here. So consciousness, which has seemingly entered into the body mind complex, like the pot space, having the name jiva alone, is said to be also what? Manifest consciousness. But only with the association of the material body, mind, sense complex, the consciousness is said to be, manifest consciousness, chidabhasaha, or pratibimba chaitanyam, which is enclosed consciousness. Therefore, and here it is said, Upanishads also talk about the entry. It's a pravesha srutihi. And here it is said, Vidyaranya Swami also mentions that Ishvara entered into the body as jiva and gets a new name, jiva. So our gross body and subtle body, so sthula shariram and a sukshma shariram, actually are capable of manifesting consciousness, capable of reflecting consciousness. It's like what I can say, wall is also wall is also earthen. And then mirror also is earthen. But wall does not reflect light. Whereas mirror reflects light because of its transparency. Even though both are made in earthen products, but still wall does not have the capacity to reflect light. Whereas a mirror, which is an earthen product, is capable of reflecting light. Similarly here, the human forms are capable of manifesting, reflecting consciousness. So, it is, what is manifesting? The consciousness which seems to have been enclosed within the enclosure called Deha, body, is given the name manifest consciousness. It is because of the association with consciousness alone, because the manifestation of consciousness or reflection of consciousness alone, this entire body, inert material body, mind sense complex becomes conscious and sentient. See, consciousness, which is the essential nature of the whole Ishvara, Ishvara Swarup is consciousness. Consciousness alone is given the title Ishvara. And this reality, the consciousness, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. It pervades everything. How? Not by action, but by nature. Consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, effortlessly it pervades everything. Even though consciousness pervades everything, we have to remember the fact here, consciousness does not, cannot show the sentiency. The exhibition of sentiency. The exhibition of sentiency is possible. Exhibition of sentiency is possible only when the consciousness is manifest. If consciousness, even though it is pervasive, but there's no exhibition of sentiency on the part of non-living things. Why? Because there is no manifestation. Consciousness pervades the non-living things also, but there is no manifestation of consciousness in non-living things. Therefore, there is no exhibition of sentiency. Now, that is why we can understand any human being after death, there is only a dead body. We do not call the dead body a human being. Even though the dead body belongs to a human being, dead body is of a human being, still body is of an human being, but still body, we do not call that human being anymore, only called a dead body. Why? Because dead body does not have sentiency. Dead body is not sentient or conscious. Why? Because the Ishvara, which enters into the body, thereby it becomes enclosed within the body, has this name, Pratibimba Chaitanyam, alone makes the body exhibit sentiency. Therefore, the consciousness manifest or reflected in the subtle and gross bodies alone contributes for sentiency in the entire body, mind, sense complex. So Vidyaranya Swami mentions here, Paramatma Ishwaraha entered into the body in the form of a jiva. So jivatma rupena paramatma eva dehe pravishat. Which means, we have to remember here, Upanishads always describe or talk about the formation of manifestation, manifest consciousness or reflection of consciousness. Pratibimba, Chaitanya Pratibimbam or Chidabhasaha, Chaitanya Abhasaha, Chidabhasaha. You know, the reflection of consciousness, the formation of the reflection of consciousness is described in Upanishads. That means, as though the reflection of consciousness is formed later on as an event. What does it mean? First, Ishvara enters into the body. Then, what happens? Then there is a manifest, that consciousness, Ishvara of consciousness enters into the body. Then it becomes reflected by the body mind complex. And this consciousness reflecting in body, manifest in body mind complex is said to be manifest consciousness, reflected consciousness. And then because of reflection of consciousness, body mind complex become, they also borrow consciousness, then thereby they exhibit that exhibition of sentiency, etc. Upanishads talk about. So when it is saying, be very careful, it is presented as though there is a sequence of events, one by one happening. First this happens, the next this happens, next this happens. Please understand, there is no real sequence of events. Okay, all these, the so-called, the seeming sequence of events happen simultaneously. Very important. You know, you bring my hand like this in the light, you know, as my hand enters, there is what? Light is reflected, reflection of light, simultaneous. I can say first I take my hand, I bring my hand, then the light is reflected light. Means, is there a sequence in event? The sequence of in the events? No, there's no sequence. Simultaneous. Similarly, the consciousness entering into the body and having this name as is known as Chidabhasa, manifest consciousness or reflected consciousness. Then, because the person's reflected consciousness, body mind complex become conscious and sentient. And there is a, we can understand how there is life. So this manic consciousness, Ishvara Swarupam, which has entered into body, have with the name Jiva, you know, then makes everything conscious and sentient. Which means, why the name Jiva is given? Because it is this consciousness which has entered into the body, as reflected consciousness alone holds the prana in the body. Therefore, it's called Jivaha. Okay? So, please remember here, there is no, there is no sequence. sequence in what is happening, in sequence in the events that are happening. But definitely, when we try to understand what is happening, in understanding of what is happening, understanding of the events, there is sequence. So definitely, this sequence is only in our understanding of what is happening, but there's no real sequence in the events, them events which are happening. And this, it is Ishvara entering into the body, thereby having the name Jiva as reflected consciousness or manifest consciousness as Chidabhasaha, and thereby lending life and consciousness and sentience to the body mind complex, and thereby the sentience and life being exhibited on the part of the body mind complex, etc., is said to be pratipattikramaha. Pratipattikramaha means we understand the krama, the sequence in our understanding of the events in terms of Ishvara entering into the body. Then Ishvara, thereby there being the formation of manifestation of consciousness or reflection of consciousness. Then thereby what? The body mind complex become conscious and sentient. Thereby jiva status, etc. This is called pratipatti kramaha. So, Vijayaranya Swami says here, shrutayaha iti shrutaha shrutayaha ahuhu. So, Upanishads alone talk about this. Upanishads describe this. Entry of Ishvara into the body as jiva. So the jiva, Ishvara obtaining the indivisible, partless, one whole consciousness, seems to be obtaining within the enclosure called body mansions complex, gets the name jiva. Why? Because it I told you many times before, and it holds the prana. And this meaning actually is given by Panini Rishi himself in his sutras, Vyakarana sutras. Panini himself mentions this. No, the jivaha, he gives the meaning. Jivaha means that which holds the prana. So pranaha actually stands for the entire sukshma shariram. Mind, prana, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, all the subtle aspects together are meant by one word prana here, which means it is the manifestation of consciousness which makes the inert material sukshma conscious and sentient. Therefore this manifest consciousness holds the subtle body. Thereby subtle body lends conscious sentience to the gross body. Okay. And how long does it hold the how long does jiva hold the subtle body in the gross body? They said, as long as prarabdha karma is there, the jiva holds the subtle body in the gross body. Only prarabdha karma is exhausted, then jiva releases, which means that it takes back the subtle, it withdraws this subtle body from the gross. When the subtle body is withdrawn from the gross body falls dead. It is in it. Again. Okay. So why I want to say all these things? It is made very clear. There is no jiva. Essential nature of every individual being is consciousness only. But consciousness associated with the body, mind, and complex is gets the name jiva. Otherwise, there is no jiva other than Ishvara. That is made very clear. Let us see the next verse. We can also remember the verse quoted from Bhagavad Gita. You all remember? Bhagavad Gita says the same thing here. This is Ishvara alone as jiva in the body. When the paradha is over, what does it do? It grabs the entire sukshma from the body, which means the sukshma sairam leaves the physical body. That's what is said. We understand Ishvara does not move. Ishvara cannot move because Ishvara all pervasive. How can he move? Doesn't move. Okay? This jiva, the subtle body leaves the gross body. The subtle body leaves what? The manifesting medium leaves. Therefore, manifestation is not possible. Then consciousness pervades the gross body, dead body, but there is no manifesting medium for consciousness. Therefore, dead body, body becomes dead. Don't you think, no, consciousness does not travel. Consciousness is always there. How can consciousness move? Atma, the consciousness, Ishvara cannot move. It's all pervasive. Then why the body, the live body becomes dead? Because subtle body has left. What subtle body? It is paradha is over, subtle body leaves. Subtle body alone is manifesting medium because of which the manifestation is possible. But the conscious, subtle, sentient, subtle body is there, then the gross body also becomes conscious. And the conscious subtle body leaves, the gross body becomes inert and dead. So Atma doesn't move. It is the sentient, conscious, subtle which moves when the paradha gets over. Okay. Let me tell you now. We'll go next verse. Remember that verse? He tells in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, you know, jiva loke mamayeva amshaha sanatanaha jiva bhutaha mamayeva sanatanaha amshaha jiva loke jiva bhutaha. Bhagavan says there, mamayeva amshaha, my own aspect. What of my own self, myself? Sanatanaha mamayeva amshaha jiva bhutaha jiva loke. Bhagavan says that. Okay. Next verse. Chaitanyam yadadishthanam. Chaitanyam yadadishthanam. Linga dehaschayav punaha. Chaitanyam yadadhishthanam. Linga dehaschayav punaha. Chichaya linga dehastha. Tatsangho jiva uchyate. Chichaya linga dehastha. Tatsangho jiva uchyate. I want all of you to know this verse very well, an important verse. Vidyaranya Swami, I tell you, the more I study Vidyaranya Swami, the more I just adore. Because so clear. He makes a lot of Vedantic concepts when you study Upanishads, which may be confusing for you. And he really beautifully presents everything here very clearly in his own clean language. Chaitanyam yadadhishthanam linga dehaschayav punaha chichaya linga dehastha சத்சங்கோ ஜீவ உச்சதே. See, definition of jiva, the most beautiful definition of jiva, an individual being, the jivaha. What is jiva? The beautifully defined in this verse. That is why this verse is worth memorizing the word. Chaitanyam yath adhishtanam. Break it now. Yath adhishtanam chaitanyam asti bhavati. The consciousness which is the adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the support, the substratum. Just as water is the adhishtanam for the form, name and function called ocean or waves. Ocean full of waves. Water is the adhishtanam for ocean full of waves. Gold is the adhishtanam for the form, name and function called any ornament. Wood is the adhishtanam for any furniture. Adhishtanam here for entire, for this entire cosmos. The five elemental model, this entire universe, for everything here, the only adhishtanam is what support, the substratum is this consciousness. Chaitanyam yad adhishtanam. Yaha linga dehaha cha punaha. Yaha linga dehas cha punaha. Ya, then we see, yat adhishtanam chaitanyam kama. Linga dehas cha yaha punaha. Punaha, again, no? Yaha linga dehaha. See, chaitanyam, neuter gender word. Therefore, yad. That tipon is yad. And linga deha masculine gender word. Therefore, yaha. Yaha linga deha. Then, ya linga deha stha chichaya. Linga deha stha, linga deha stha chichaya. தத் சங்கா ஜீவா உச்சதே. Combination of all these three aspects, சங்கா, all these three put together is known, said to be ஜீவா. தத் சங்கா ஜீவா உச்சதே. Very interesting, very beautiful definition. What is ஜீவா? தத் சங்கா ஜீவா உச்சதே. What sangaha? The association, combination, three factors put together is said to be jiva. What are three factors put together is said to be jiva here? It is said, yat chaitanyam. So the pure consciousness, the beginningless, endless, changeless, all pervasive reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, which is the original source of all knowledge, which is the basis of all existence of all forms, names and functions, existence of all forms, names and functions presupposes knowledge, and the source of all knowledge is the original consciousness. Okay, but adhishtanam, I repeat a sentence, the existence of all forms, names and functions, all objects obtaining in different forms, indicated by different words, associated with different functions, all of them, what now presuppose the knowledge of the objects. And the knowledge of those objects presupposes the very source of knowledge, which is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, reality. Okay, original source of knowledge is pure consciousness, yat chaitanyam. Then, linga dehaha means subtle body, sukshma shariram is known by another word, linga dehaha, sukshma dehaha, linga dehaha. And this linga deha is what? It is the, it serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness. Linga deha is subtle body, mind, especially the mind serves as a means of the manifesting medium for consciousness. Then, once the manifesting medium is there, then there is the what now? Manifestation of consciousness, a reflection of consciousness, which is called chichaya. Chichaya means reflection of consciousness or manifestation of consciousness obtaining in linga deha. Okay, associated with what? Subtle body, the manifesting medium. Linga dehastha chichaya. Linga dehastha. Linga dehe tishthati iti linga dehastha chichaya. Now, so the manifest consciousness or reflection of consciousness associated with the manifesting medium, subtle body. All the three of them, three factors, okay? Three factors together form jivaha. So, tatsangaha, association, the combination of these three factors together is said to be jivaha. Got it now? Is it clear? What is jiva? Are you following or not? Okay. See, now there's light. Is original light. Now, do you see, if you may not know the light now. Light doesn't attract your attention. Listen now. There is light, but light is uniform, one. Light is unmoving. Light does not draw your attention. Now, what I do, I bring my hand, I move my hand like this. Then what you see? You see the movement of the hand. And you see the hand, the movement of the hand, and the hand movement. And then I ask you, draws your attention. Then, oh, the hand is moving. What is that moving? Hand is moving. How is it moving? How do you understand hand is moving? How do you understand hand is moving? Because there is light. And from the moving hand, you see the light. Okay? Therefore, light becomes recognizable. Light can draw your attention only when something in the unmoving light can draw your attention only something moves in the light. Isn't it? Therefore, this in fact, the moving hand itself is dependent on light to be seen. But still, the hand and the movement of the hand is as though reflecting medium for the light. Then what happened? The light associated with the hand is said to be what now? Reflected light. Reflection of the light. Okay, now the original light, the hand, the reflecting medium, then the light associated with the hand is said to be reflected light. Three factors. Similarly, here, that there's always unmoving, motionless, all pervasive, beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless reality, abstract reality, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, the source of all knowledge is always there. All pervasively it is there. It doesn't move. But then, the subtle body is what now? Subtle body becomes a manifesting medium, as in mind. So, the original consciousness. When the mind is there, what now? மைண்ட் அது சட்டில் ஃபேக்டர், சட்டில் பாடி, மேனிஃபெஸ்டிங் மீடியம். தென் வி ஹேவ் வாட் அலாங் ஹட்டில், ஒன்ஸ் ஹட்டில் பாடி கம்ஸ் தேர் அண்ட் தேர் இஸ் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன் ஆஃப் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் சிதாபாசா. So, Chidabhasaha, a consciousness associated with the subtle body, is said to be Chidabhasaha, reflection or manifestation of consciousness. Then the subtle body, which is a manifesting medium, then the original consciousness without the manifesting medium. So, all three factors are associated now together from what? Jivaha. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Let me tell you here. அதிஷ்டானம் சைத்தன்யம் நம்பர் ஒன் ஃபேக்டர், தென் லிங்க தேக சட்டில் பாடி தி மேனிஃபெஸ்டிங் மீடியம், தென் லிங்க தேகஸ்தா சிச்சாயா தி மேனிஃபெஸ்ட் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் ஆர் ரிஃப்ளெக்டட் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் அசோசியேட்டட் வித் தி சட்டில் பாடி தேர்ட் ஃபேக்டர், தத் சங்கா தேஷாம் சங்கா தேர் அசோசியேஷன் இஸ் கால் வாட் நவ். Three factors put together alone is known as Jivaha. Okay, please understand here. What is a Jiva? Every individual Jiva is actually composition of three aspects. Every Jiva is a composition of three aspects. What is that? You can say the pure consciousness, the original source of knowledge. We can say Param Brahma, Paramatma. Then the manifest consciousness or reflected consciousness. What? Chidabhasaha, Pratibimba Chaitanyam. Then the reflecting or manifesting medium, subtle body. But actually, subtle body. Even though Vidyaranya Swami mentioned subtle body, we should remember subtle body also here me also includes the entire all three aspects of the body, causal body, subtle body and a gross body. Right? Understand that. The three factors. So every jiva is a composition of these three aspects: pure consciousness, then manifest consciousness associated with the manifesting medium, then the manifesting medium, the bodies. So even though it always made it clear that the jiva is a composition of these three aspects, but sometimes in different contexts, different aspect or only one aspect of the jiva alone is elaborately discussed or shown, highlighted. Therefore, it is important for us not to be confused about it. If one aspect of the jiva is taken separately, analyzed or discussed, then we should not get confused. So, in one given context, the manifest consciousness alone can be highlighted. In another context, the very source of manifestation, the pure consciousness alone, can be separately analyzed and highlighted. Therefore, we should be very careful in understanding. There should not any create any confusion on our part. Generally, please remember, the journey of the Jivaha, travel on the part of Jiva, hope you're all listening to me, not sleeping. Okay. I know it's very tiring time for me in Sydney. Journey of the Jiva. Jiva's travel is always discussed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. Isn't it? We say Jiva lives, Jiva performs karma, Jiva earns punyam, Jiva meditates, jnana karma samuchayaha. As a result of punyam, and Jiva goes, adhikam punyam if Jiva has, then even goes to higher lokas, different lokas. And we talk, and there's a Shukla Gatihi, there's a Krishna Gatihi. All Jiva's journey is also discussed very much in Karma Kanda of the Veda. So, then whenever we talk about the Jiva's journey, we should remember it is not journey of Atma, the pure consciousness. The journey is always of manifest consciousness. A manifest consciousness, okay? The reflector consciousness alone, we have to understand. Again, even a reflector consciousness really does not travel. The reflecting medium moves, therefore it looks as though the reflector consciousness also moves. Suppose, even if I sit here without moving, in front of me there's a mirror. The mirror is taken this side and that side. Wherever the mirror goes, my reflection also you can find there, isn't it? That's it. Really speaking, even the mirror also, reflection also doesn't travel, but the reflecting medium travels. Therefore, the reflection also seems to be traveling, moving. Therefore, you should remember, even though Jiva is said to be a composition of three aspects, the pure consciousness, reflected consciousness, or manifest consciousness, and the manifesting medium, the body, still, when in Karma Kanda, it is discussed, Jiva is said to be traveling. We should remember which aspect of Jiva is said to be traveling. The seeming travel on the part of a manifest consciousness, reflected consciousness, the original consciousness, the pure consciousness cannot, does not travel because it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. It is unmoving. And the same in some other context. Suppose Upanishad says, I am Atma Brahma or Prajnanam Brahma or Upanishad says Tattvamasi, etc. In Mahavakyams, there the Jiva, especially Jiva is addressed when it is said, you are consciousness, you are Brahman, you are the absolute reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, pure consciousness, the original source of all knowledge. When it is said there, which aspect of Jiva is mentioned? The pure consciousness, the original source of all knowledge alone, is highlighted as the meaning of the word Tvam, as the Jiva's, that aspect. So in which context, which aspect of Jiva is highlighted must be very clear. Therefore, the word Jiva is the same word meaning an individual, which is nothing but composition of three aspects, but is used, actually it is mentioned to highlight different aspects in different contexts. Therefore, what actually the teacher wants to convey, what actually the teacher wants to convey here must be very clearly, doubtlessly understood what actually the teacher intends to communicate, what actually the teacher wants to clarify, make it clear, that the teacher's heart must be understood in the context. Guroho vaksham janiyat. Guroho vaksha ka. What actually Guru wants to convey must be understood very clearly. Therefore, in his context, it is said the definition of jiva is that jivaha is a composition of or a composite of three aspects. Pure original consciousness, source of knowledge, and a manifest consciousness, and the manifesting medium, the body. Okay. Now, let us go to next verse. Maheshwari tu mayaya. Maheshwari tu mayaya. Tasya nirmana shaktivat. Maheshwari tu mayaya. Tasya nirmana shaktivat. Vidyate moha shaktischa. Vidyate moha shaktischa. Tam jivam mohayatyasau. Tam jivam mohayatyasau. Now, Maheshwari Maya Ya Tasyaha Nirmana Shaktivat Moha Shaktihi Cha Vidyate Asau Te Asau actually Tam Jivam Asau Tam Jivam Mohayati. Let me put it correctly now again. See, Maya is said to be Maheshwari. You know, Maheshwarasya Shaktihi, Maheshwari Shaktihi. Anything pertaining to Maheshwara, the Lord, the great exalted Lord, the power of the exalted great Lord is what? Maheshwarasya Shaktihi, Maheshwari Shaktihi. Like how I taught in grammar, Maheshwarani Sutrani. Are you one little learnt? Maheshwarani Sutrani. Anything pertaining to Maheshwara is said to be Maheshwara. In grammar, you're going to learn that how we form these affixes, what affixes added to get these expressions. Anything pertaining to, na Tadita will learn that. Dasharathasya putraha dasharatihi, Janakasya putri janaki, Mithilayaha mahila maithili. Like that, we can form words, names like that. Similarly, Maheshwari Maya means what? The power of Maheshwara is Maheshwari Maya. And Maya is a feminine gender word. Therefore, Maheshwari Maya. The power of Ishwara, the Lord. Okay, that power of Lord which is there. And that power has what? Nirmana Shakti Vat. Nirmana Shakti Vat. Moha Shaktischa Vidyate. In this Maya, this power is of twofold. We understand that. Nirmana Shaktihi, Moha Shaktihi cha. And it is this Maya, Tam Jivam Mohayati. It is this Maya which really deludes the Jiva. Maya Eva ஜீவம் மோகயதி, மோகயதி அசௌ மோகயத்யசௌ. ஷுடோ சந்தினவ் மோகயதி டெல்யூட்ஸ் அசௌ. அசௌ மீன்ஸ் திஸ் ஜீவ. அசௌ தம் ஜீவம் அசௌ மோகயதி திஸ் மாயா லோன் டெல்யூட்ஸ். மோகயதி அசௌ திஸ் டெல்யூட்ஸ். ஓகே, மோகயத்யசௌ மீன்ஸ் ஏஷா மாயா இயம் மாயா ஜீவம் மோகயதி. அசௌ இத்யுக்தே ஏஷா இத்யர்த்தம். This Maya alone deludes the Jiva. Which Maya? That Maya which belongs to Ishvara. The power of Ishvara. Ya Maya Maheshwari Sa Eva Maya Jivam Mohayati. Okay. And that Maya is of now. It has power. What is it? Nirmana Shaktivati. That Maya, not only it has Nirmana Shakti, it also has Moha Shakti. What is Nirmana Shakti? What is Moha Shakti? Let us see here. See. Now, in this verse, Vidyaranya Swami gradually begins. First, he has given, this is what a Jiva is. He made it very clear. There's no Jiva other than anything else, okay? This Jiva means originally what there is. Essentially, Jiva is pure consciousness. And there is manifestation of consciousness obtaining in the within the manifesting medium called body, subtle body. There were these three factors constitute Jiva, he said. Now, what is the need for there to be samsara? Why there is samsara? The samsara is a problem. Why is it a problem? Because nothing is permanent here. Sukham is not permanent, dukkham is not permanent. And as they cannot be, only enjoyment sukham alone is not possible. There will be sukham and dukkham, and both are temporary, and it is not something, it is not, doesn't end here. Is a choice, this helplessly, this life of pairs of opposites, continue life after 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 life. This experience of pairs of opposites continuously is there. In between, we are given short breaks to transfer our abode of one. We are transferred from one abode of enjoyment to another abode of enjoyment. It's like, no, by the time you find a house, you get the everything sorted out, you paint, you clean, you put the things, organize everything, you're well settled in that house, and you think, okay, now our life will be comfortable, I ask to move out. Isn't it? It is like that. Imagine, suppose you have a house, you have to rent a house, okay, and you go, you find a house, settle everything, and you're asked to move out of the house. Like that, every time you go, what happens? Again, you have to carry everything and the problem. Like that here also, body after body after body after body, there's a continuously journey, travel, moving from one house to another house, one body to another body. Again, after going there, what? There's no only experience of pleasures. There's not only experience of pain also. There's always experience of patches of opposites. And then always you feel, you can never feel balanced. You have to feel elated or you have to feel dejected, and that is how your mental condition, and that is not really nice, and you go through, and by time, then again that life goes. Again death, my God, again sort of pain. Somebody dies before us, it also causes pain. If we die before us, we have a fear of death also. Anyway, this is how life is. It is endless. Samsara is endless. Beginningless, endless cycle of many, 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 many births and deaths, in between fraught with experience of pairs of opposites. And this samsara, there's no way of getting out of it, therefore it is problem. If you have the freedom to get in and get out, then it is not a problem. It's like what? Suppose there's an IKEA. You can go inside, buy things and come out. You're not asked to stay all the time. You can come, you have the freedom. to go, to come out. In samsara, there's no freedom for you. You can't say, okay, let me take a break. Let me go out and then not come back for some time. No, there's no way. There's no choice. We are choicelessly pushed into this life of samsara continuously. That is why it is a problem. Okay, that's why it's called a bondage. Okay, bondage. So, and here Vidyarana Swami wants us to understand what exactly is this samsaraha, why there is samsaraha, how actually the life of beginningless, endless cycle of life of transmigration, how it begins. Look at this. It said, this, the jiva actually is not blessed with the understanding of the fact that every jiva is a composition of these three aspects. Jiva is not endowed with the knowledge, but endowed with the wisdom that every individual is a composition of these three aspects. He doesn't know. And second thing, all that the jiva knows is of the objects. Jiva knows the object. Jiva knows the known. The known is known to jiva. If a jiva knows what? As a jiva, there's only knowledge of the three bodies on the part of the jiva. Even there's no knowledge of all the three bodies, to be frank, in the very beginning. Only knowledge of the body on the part of a jiva. And as an individual, one can definitely understand that is that one's own self is conscious being. I am a conscious being. That much knowledge is there on the part of any jiva. You don't say you're inner dead body, dead. So you know, I am a conscious being. I'm a conscious being. I'm a human being. I'm a conscious being. That much knowledge is there on the part of any jiva, every individual. Even though this knowledge, I'm a conscious being, this knowledge is there, still, what is not known is that I, the conscious being, am the truth. I, the conscious being, am the absolute reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure existence. That knowledge is not there. Originally, essentially, I am of the nature of pure consciousness. That knowledge is not there. He knows the body. He knows that there is consciousness in him. But the body is the physical body, atal body, the mind, everything is mithya. And even the manifestation of consciousness also is mithya. The source of manifestation alone is satyam. The manifestation of consciousness is mithya. The manifesting medium, all the three bodies are also mithya. The source of manifestation, pure consciousness alone is satyam. Therefore, this individual being does not understand what his or her real nature is. Because there's ignorance or there's no knowledge on the part of the jiva of what one's real nature is, what one is essentially. So helplessly, this jiva mistakes the time-bound, spatially limited, object-wise limited, a finite, mithya, inert, material, three bodies And also, this manifest consciousness as one's real self. It means I am a conscious being, means he mistakes this conscious and sentient body, mind, sense complex to be the self. And this results in what? Once the time-bound mithya body, mind, sense complex is mistaken as a self, what happens? Even though essentially he is infinite, the infinite jiva, the jiva who is essentially infinite, becomes as though finite. Then what? That all wrong notions come. I am the doer. Aham karta. Aham bhokta. I am enjoyer. I am the knower. Aham jnata. Aham pramata. I am karta. I am bhokta. I am enjoyer. I am doer. I am knower. All these notions come. Even though essentially jiva is not the doer, jiva is not the enjoyer, jiva is not even the knower, knowing is the swarupam of the jiva. But still, jiva mistakes himself to be katta, bhokta, pramata, etc. And even though jiva is essentially of the nature of fullness, and because of the wrong identity, jiva becomes a finite, limited fraction, the individual isolated from the whole. So whenever this one's real nature of limitlessness or infinitude is not recognized, the original essential nature is not recognized, then as a limited, time-bound, spatially limited individual being, then what now? One naturally feels helpless. One feels helpless. One feels limited. One feels finite. And the helplessness, okay, why we feel helpless? Most of the times, you have to understand, we feel very, very helpless. Please understand, it's a very important lesson. We do feel helpless. I do not know what to do. That is when an expression of my recognition of helplessness alone, I spontaneously, naturally, I pray and I seek grace. So when do we need to pray and worship? When do we need to seek grace? When we recognize our utter helplessness. And the Shastram says here, the very helplessness itself is because of the notion of being time-bound, spatially limited, and object-wise limited. Because of the limitation superimposed upon the self, the helplessness is there. Otherwise, there will not be such a thing called helplessness at all. Okay? It is the ones I, the individual mistakes. This is the body, mind, sense complex with the manifest consciousness as a conscious individual being. One sees oneself as this being. Only that much he sees. He doesn't see that essentially the individual is pure consciousness. Then naturally what happens? There comes the limitations. And limitations are superimposed, means along with the superimposed limitation comes helplessness. Helplessness will be unavoidable. And when helpless, the notion of I am helpless, or when we see that it's helplessness, naturally, whenever we feel helpless, no, it means the entire objective world is too huge. The world is too huge and too strong and too powerful. And in this, isolating myself from this whole too huge and powerful world, what happens? I isolate myself. I feel too small. I'm small. I'm insignificant. I am nobody. And thereby, I'm unhappy, except also comes. And this sense of smallness, sense of insecurity, sense of inadequacy, sense of insignificance, centered on I, because of this seeing oneself as a limited, time-bound, conscious individual being of body, mind, sense complex, then helplessly all wrong notions become centered on I. When the wrong notions become centered on I, then that is how samsara begins. Samsara begins how? Because of the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, even though every jiva is essentially the limitless reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, which is of the nature of infinitude. And not knowing this fact, when the relative, the bodies and the manifestation are mistaken to be the self, then helplessly, one happens to entertain all these wrong notions centered on I am small, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, etc. This is how samsara begins. So please note down this word, this one. The first and the foremost of exhibition of samsara, expression of samsara, is in the form of helplessness. We feel physically helpless. We feel emotionally helpless. We also feel helplessly, intellectually helpless. Okay? So, please remember how samsara begins. Samsara begins in the form of helplessness as all wrong notions centered on I. Then, feeling of helplessness at every level, physically, emotionally, intellectually, feeling helpless, being helpless alone, results in the experience of frustration. We feel frustrated and depressed and dejected only when we find ourselves being helpless. When you feel helpless, you are frustrated. You will be depressed and dejected. Therefore, the next way how samsara, how exhibits itself, samsara exhibits itself, reveals itself, expresses itself in the form of helplessness first, then helplessness followed by an expression of helplessness, this expression of frustration, depression and dejection. And this samsara, in the form of expression of limitlessness, expression of limitations, expression of helplessness, the which results in an expression of anger, frustration, depression, dejection, etc., is because of, purely because of jiva's real nature being covered, concealed. Therefore, every individual being helplessly feels this, the essential nature of every jiva is pure, one and the same only consciousness. But all the individual beings, the so-called jivas, worldwide, universally, without any hesitation, exception, go through this problem of samsara. And that's what samsara explained now. What causes this samsara? Vidyaranya Swami makes it very clear. Yai Maheshwari Shaktihi, that power of Maheshwara called Maya, which alone causes samsara. So Vidyaranya Swami makes it very clear. Maya, the cause of samsara is Maya. Maya alone mohayati. And this Maya, if you give me 1 minute, I'll finish it, okay? And it's time. This Maya, in fact, has not the Vikshepa Shaktihi, and Maya also has Avarna Shaktihi. Vikshepa Shaktihi and Avarna Shaktihi. Vikshepa Shaktihi means productive power, creative power. Avarna Shaktihi means covering power or concealing power. So what? What is the difference here? See, Bhagavan, Ishvara, is endowed with this Maya, which is of twofold powers. Maya in the form of Vikshepa Shakti and Avarana Shakti. But Vikshepa Shakti alone is operated in creating this universe. So it means Ishvara operates only Vikshepa Shakti for the world to become manifest. Vikshepa Shakti alone is operated for the world to come into existence. And Avarna Shakti aspect of Maya, the concealing, covering power of Maya is not operational, so that Ishvara does not need to, cannot forget Swarupam. Therefore, because Ishvara, there's no forgetfulness on the part of Ishvara of the real nature, Ishvara has mastery over the power. He is called Mayavi Ishvara, Shaktimad Brahma Ishvara. Therefore, Ishvara is not disturbed by Maya. The man who is holding a knife will not kill himself. Like that. A snake which is endowed with the poison. And the poison which belongs to snake doesn't kill the snake. But it can kill others. The person who was with the sword will not kill himself. He can, that sword can kill, be used to kill other people. Why? Because how is it possible the snake doesn't kill other people? The snake's poison. Snake has poison, but snake's poison can kill others, but doesn't kill snake, because snake has immunity. Immunity that can handle the poison. Its own poison. Its own. Similarly, Ishvara's Maya also, but Nirmana Shaktivat, Tasyaha Nirmana Shaktivat. Nirmana Shakti means what now? The product Vikshepa Shakti. Nirmana Shaktihi means productive, creative, Vikshepa Shaktihi of Maya is, Maya alone becomes operational first. Thereby what happens? All the bodies originate. So, when the subtle body comes into existence, then naturally the capacity to think, capacity to desire, all Ichcha, Jnana Shakti, Ichcha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, all these also become manifest. But there's no knowledge on the part of the mind what originally is, what really is, how the essentially there is pure consciousness, that this is not known. And the Maya also is endowed with Avarna Shaktihi. It is Avarna Shakti alone, what? The concealing, covering, which is the cup, which is actually, which alone deludes. Therefore, let us see, understand. I'm stopping here. We'll, in the next slide, we'll see. It is this Maya, the Maya, actually Mohayati, Moha Shakti. It is, it deludes. Avarana Shakti alone deludes. Vikshepa Shakti contributes for manifest creation, whereas Avarana Shakti contributes for delusion. We'll understand it next time very well. I need to explain a lot more. We'll see next class. Was it clear? Any doubts? I have not completed the explanation of this verse. I just started.
Yes. What?
You have to listen to me continuously for any clarity. For further clarity, you have to listen to me. Next class. I have not completed the explanation, unfoldment. It become clear next week. I'm only asking you whether it's doubt in what you've already heard.
Yeah.
Because if you have doubts, because people who have not heard other chapters definitely will have doubts. Yes, doctor. Yes, Dr. Solunga.
The definition of differs according to the orders, you are reading. In this one, of course, you said that it is pure consciousness, then reflected consciousness plus the subtle body.
Yeah.
And then you said it is not only the subtle body, it includes the gross body and the causal body as well.
No, what you're saying, yeah. Why, even though Vidya mentions only the subtle body, yeah. Of course, subtle body is the actually manifesting medium. But subtle body can be functional only, it can serve as a manifesting medium, only it also has a gross body. Without the gross body, subtle body, no, it can be functional. Subtle body is always a reflecting medium, but it cannot be functional without the gross body.
Yeah.
It's dependent on the gross body.
Yeah, and the causal body?
Yeah, without the causal body, causal body cannot even exist, no?
Yeah, it cannot be exist. The other thing is, I have seen a definition of jiva, as buddhi plus chitabhasa, together with the chitabhasa. Is that correct?
No. See, the word is used buddhi. I said subtle body, so sukshma. Linga deha, it is very clear, linga deha. It's actually mind, antakaranam as a whole.
Buddhi includes the whole antakaranam plus the causal body, etc.
Yeah, buddhi means what? The ahankara first. In fact, you can say only one word ahankara.
Yeah. The other thing is the question of death, Swami. People say when a person dies, uyir poyitudu, pranan poyitudu, jivan poyitudu. These are three things that people normally talk about when a person dies. What do they really mean by these things?
When they say pran vaduchi, jivan vaduchi, uyir vaduchi, whatever they say, what they mean is sukshma has left.
Sukshma has left, that's all.
But they do not know atma. They think it's atma vaduchi. In fact, atma cannot go. Atma doesn't come. What goes is the life has left. Prana has left means, see, actually speaking, departure of mind alone determines the death.
Yeah.
But we can understand life being not there only when the prana stops. Departure of mind cannot be seen. When the mind leaves, we cannot see through physical eyes.
Yeah.
We cannot comprehend the departure of the mind from the body. But how do you understand the body is dead now? When the prana stops, that becomes indication for the life being not there.
Yeah.
Therefore, people say prana has gone. Of course, prana does go. The entire sukshma leaves. But what determines the departure of everything is the mind only. Departure of mind from the body is departure of sukshma, which is dead. But for us to recognize, and the person is still there. See, even after the mind goes, the person is there because the momentum, the person still there, keeping his eyes closed, breath will be there. That time the person is not there, he doesn't respond. But the prana has to stop. That momentum takes, you know. So the prana stops, that's an indication for us to confirm that definitely the person is no more.
Okay, thank you.
That's all. But anyway, at least you know, consciousness doesn't travel.
Yeah.
So you are essentially consciousness. This has to become very clear. Okay, Prabhuji, tell me what is that you want to know?
Yeah, you said the first and the foremost exhibition or expression of samsara is helplessness.
Yes.
What happens in a newborn child or early age of childhood? There is no I there, is there? Question of
my God, even the helplessness is there. The child has no, what help the child has? Child is utterly helpless, even to move, at least you can move.
Yeah, but it doesn't realize that it is helpless.
It is crying, na? Why the child cry? Why does the child cry?
It could be pain, the hunger.
It goes through, okay?
Yeah.
There is no, actually speaking, I sense comes only after second year.
Nah.
It's a terrible two. No, ahankara comes only when the child becomes 2 year old. But even then, at the very birth, in ignorance also, there's helplessness, isn't it? Yeah, you think you are free then as a baby?
No, we're not. But there's no sense of I.
See, in as a baby, you do not know you are free also. You do not know you are bound also. Understand? But still, you are helplessly crying. But still, then the ahankara comes, isn't it?
Okay. And another one. What is the relation? You said there is. I didn't understand the. The relation with Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and the Ishvaraha, I didn't understand the relation there between the two in the Shloka 11 or the 10th one.
No, because this is not actually Upanishad, isn't it? It's a Vidyaranya Swami's text, different text.
Yeah.
I only said different mantras are quoted by Vidyaranya Swami in his verses from different Upanishads to make us understand Ishvara Srishti. See, we are now in the process of understanding Ishvara Srishti. What is Ishvara's creation? We only started. We have yet to complete many more verses to have an understanding what is Ishvara's creation. Thereafter, we will see what is our projection. Then how our projection causes problem. Ishvara's creation doesn't cause any problem. We had a lot of understanding, okay?
Okay, Swami.
Yeah. You only see, that's why these lessons now we had to be heading continuously to understand. Now we're only in the process of understanding Ishvara's creation. The lot of things are understood here.
Okay.
What is death, what is birth, and what is happening. Mm-hmm. How we understand samsara, etc. We have understanding. Okay. We'll keep on listening, it will become clear. Okay? Swamiji used to say the same thing. If you go and ask questions, Kendir ma padam, Kendir vandu, Kendir sariyadu. He used to say, listen, keep on listening, it'll be clear. Okay. So, Shubharatri to all of you. I in Sydney. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.